continues to be with you in this capacity of worship. Sire, the Lord's name would be honored and glorified. We're thankful for fellowship in the gospel, Brother James, and trust that the Lord would look down and crown this service with his presence. I want to look at a couple of verses from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Here, Samuel is confronting Saul. King Saul has been in a way of rebellion, way of disobedience, and he has just disregarded the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel comes to him and gives the word of the Lord to him, and he wants to consider the message that Samuel brings to Saul at this time. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and in as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." I want to consider that statement Samuel makes to Saul, verse 22, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Principle of obedience. Obedience to the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. As we consider how that the devil deceives, the devil moves and walks among the people of God, one of the common tactics of Satan is when God has given a clear command, God has given commands, is to try to convince the people of God that either disregarding God's law in general, or at least on specific occasions, specific situations, that would be in our best interest. That to obey the word of the Lord would not work for us, maybe at this particular time, and perhaps we have no choice for our best interest than to disregard the word of the Lord. Now that is the approach the devil has used. He used it at the very beginning. God gave Adam a clear command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that thou eatest thereof, God said, thou shalt surely die. The devil came right behind the Lord and undermined everything that the Lord had said. He said unto Eve, thou shalt not surely die. And then he said that God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, God is holding you back from your potential, holding you back from freedom and liberty, and just look what you could enjoy if you partake of this fruit. But on the other side of that disobedience, Adam took and he died. He began the process of death, separated from God, plunged the whole human race into a state of death and depravity. On the other side of that disobedience was not liberty and freedom and joy, but rather sorrow and bondage and death. So we see that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Daniel chapter 1, we read the account of four Hebrew children that took the law of God very seriously. They took the commands of God very seriously. During the reign of Jehoiakim, Babylonians had come and they had taken the children of Israel captive. And now, during that period of time, during the first part of that period of time, the king of Babylon comes up with a plan, comes up with a program. And they were to approach and look and scout out the best and the brightest of the children of Israel, those that they thought had the greatest potential to stand before the king and have positions of influence. And basically, he instituted a 3-year program. And during this time, they would teach the best and the brightest of the Israelites, the ones that were picked out, the ones that they sought out. They would teach them the learning and the language of the Chaldeans. And also, they appointed them a portion of the king's meat and of the king's wine, that at the end of the 3 years, they might stand before the king. Scripture says that concerning Daniel, that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat, nor with the king's wine. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those were the names that were given unto these men by the Chaldean king. They purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat. Now we can just consider what they could have thought, the way they could have approached this time. Now here is our chance. Here is our time. And this is the program. We have to go along with it. This is the only way that we can have this advancement, is to eat the king's meat and to drink the king's wine. They could have thought and said among themselves, we're no longer in the land of Israel. We're in the land of Babylon. And this would be fine, to go along and eat the king's meat and to drink the king's wine. They could have thought within themselves that we will continue to serve the Lord. We will continue to follow after the Lord. But in this regard, we must go along. But scripture says that they purposed in their heart not to defile themselves with the king's meat. We read earlier in the book of 1 Samuel where man of God approaches Eli. Eli had honored his sons above the Lord, and they had taken advantage of the people of God, and they had disregarded the sacrifices of the Lord, took the best for themselves before the fat was offered. And prophet of God came to Eli, and he made this statement. He said, them that, speaking as the voice of the Lord to Eli in judgment, God saying, them that honor me will I honor, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. This principle is true in every situation, every age of time, no matter what the test, no matter what temptation we find ourselves in, that those that honor the Lord, he will honor. And these men, these four men purposed in their heart to honor the Lord, and the Lord was going to honor them. They requested that for 10 days they be given pulse and water, it just as a test. And they requested to Melzar, who was set over them, give us pulse and water for 10 days. And if at the end of 10 days that our flesh is not as the other children in the realm that are eating the king's meat, then deal with us accordingly. Scripture says that at the end of 10 days that their flesh was fairer and fatter than all the of their brethren that had the king's meat. So they took away the king's meat and they gave them pulse and water. Scripture says at the end of the 3 years, at the end of the 3 years, that they were brought before the king and they were found to be wiser and more desirable than all the 10 times more sought after than all the astrologers and the magicians in the realm. So we see that the Lord honored them. Now, this is not to say that if we honor the Lord, if we keep his word, that we will necessarily have the greatest promotions, the greatest advancements in this world, but this was the way the Lord chose to honor them. They put this on the line. They put their own position in the realm of the kingdom on the line, and the Lord honored them by preserving that position and causing them to be advanced even more. Their mind was that they considered their position as children of God. They looked upon that position. They cherished that position, and it was more desirable to them than anything that they might have in terms of the positions of this world. Now, we understand that they could not lose their position as the children of God, no matter what decision they made, what compromises they made. But the principle is that this is what they valued. This is what they focused upon. Psalm 34, the psalmist says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Those that put their trust in the Lord, those that honor the Lord, he has promised that he will not leave them in a desolate situation. Even if they had not been advanced, the Lord still would have provided for them and richly bless them with the honor of his presence. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 13, we see King Saul, and he takes the opposite approach. He had just been anointed as king over Israel. And Samuel instructs him. Things that he would see, signs that would take place, and those things would take place. And then he was to go to Gilgal. He was to go to Gilgal, and there he would wait 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, Samuel said, I'm going to come and I'm going to offer burnt sacrifices and peace offerings, and then I'm going to give you further instructions. Scripture says that Saul went out. Those signs that were told him, they came to pass. And then he went to Gilgal. And as he is there, the scripture describes a scene where the Philistines are gathered together against Israel. Scripture says they're gathered together as a force that is above the sands of the sea. The children of Israel are in a state of fear and trembling. Many of them pass over the other side of Jordan to the land of Gilead. Many of them enter into the thickets and the caves and the dens of the earth. Those that follow after Saul that are remaining, they're trembling and they're scattered from him. And Saul sees the situation that he's in. Now he comes to the seventh day, the day that was told him that you must wait, Samuel said, and there I will come, and there I will offer offerings unto the Lord. When he saw the situation that he was in, seventh day, Saul looks, the people are scattered from him. He sees that they're in a strait. He sees that they're distressed. He sees that they're overtaken with fear. He looks, and just that moment, he sees that Samuel isn't here. And so he takes it upon himself to offer the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. Right after he finishes, Samuel comes unto him. Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul's response was, I saw that the people were scattered from me. I saw that you came not at the time appointed, and I saw that the Philistines were gathered together unto me. And I realize that I haven't made supplication unto the Lord. Therefore, I forced myself and I offered these burnt offerings. Now, Samuel does not address any of these concerns, but all he says is, thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Now, Saul looks around and he blames everyone but himself. You didn't get here when you were supposed to. Well, evidently he wasn't late, because right after he offered, Saul offered the burnt offerings, then Samuel showed up. He says, you didn't come when you were supposed to. The people were scattered from me and the Philistines were gathered together, and I forced myself to render this service unto the Lord. I'm the only one noble, the most noble one in this situation. Proverbs 21 and verse 2, Solomon said, every man's ways are right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, when we're presented with the test, when we're presented with the choice, and we go in the way of disobedience, when we think, when the devil tells us that this is our best interest, that this is the only way, that we must disregard the commandment of the Lord, no matter what the situation, we can always look round about to cast blame or to make it right in our own eyes. But the scripture says, but the Lord pondereth the heart. The Lord pondereth the heart. We see that he saw the situation that he was in, and he panicked, and he offered the offering that the scripture told him not to offer, but to wait for Samuel to make this offering. He was overtaken with fear. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind." Anytime we make a decision, spur of a moment decision based upon panic, based upon fear, based upon the situation that this is what we must do, we're not moving in accordance with the spirit of the power that worketh in us, the spirit of the love of God, the spirit of a sound mind. Every time we move in accordance with the love of God, the spirit of the power that worketh in us, the spirit of a sound mind, the spirit of sound judgment, that will always be upon the basis of God's word, upon the basis of his commands. So he said, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord." And he told him that his kingdom would not continue. Another example of man that compromised, a man that went against the commandment of the Lord, we find in Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Now we can look at the life of, for instance, the Apostle Peter, and we can see instances where he walked after the flesh, walked after the wisdom of the flesh. But the Apostle Paul, he was not beyond also walking after the wisdom of the flesh. Here we find the Apostle Paul as he's making his way unto Jerusalem. He's making his way into Jerusalem. Now the brethren had besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Agabus the prophet had foretold that he would be bound hand and foot. His brethren besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And he says, "What mean you to weep and to break mine heart?" He said, "I'm not only willing to be bound, but also to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So he goes to Jerusalem. He said, "I'm willing to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." He enters into Jerusalem. He is gladly received of the brethren. And scripture says that he tells them how that the Lord had wrought using his ministry. The Lord had wrought among the Gentiles, and they rejoiced concerning this. And then they set this situation before him. They said, "Thou seest, brother, how that thousands of the Jews that are round about in this city, which believe that they're zealous for the law, and they've been informed concerning thee that you're teaching the people everywhere to forsake Moses, to forsake the law of Moses, to forsake the customs of the law. This is what they've been informed concerning you. Now, listen to us. We have a plan." And they present this before them, before the Apostle Paul. "We have four men. They have a vow on them. And what we want you to do is they're about to complete the days of purification. Their heads are going to be shaven. We want you to go in with them into the temple. And you go with them into the temple. Signify that the days of purification are over. And then offerings will be made on your behalf. And then, if you do this, then the brethren will know that all the things that are spoken concerning thee, that none of them are true, but that thou also walkest orderly and keepest the law. We don't find where the Apostle Paul questions them, but he proceeds with this plan. Now they also tell the Apostle Paul, as they set this before them, now concerning the Gentiles which believe, we have written unto them, and we have concluded unto them, that they observe no such things. It had been settled back over in Acts chapter 15. The council had come together, the council of the brethren, and the decree of the work of grace had been set forward that we're no longer under the law of Moses. As brethren had come and tried to bring the people back under the law. So in essence, what they tell the Apostle Paul is, you don't have to change what you preach. And we know you don't believe this. And we're not asking you to go among the Gentiles and get them to start adopting this practice. But just for this occasion, you need to do this because it will be in your best interest. So the scripture says that he proceeds with the plan. He proceeds with the plan, and the Jews that are from Asia, they saw him in the temple. They assume the worst. They had seen a Greek, a Gentile with him before, and just assumed that he had bringing Gentiles, falsely assumed that he was bringing Gentiles into the temple to pollute the temple. So they see him in the temple. They assume the worst. And the scripture says that they lay hands upon him. They forcibly bring him out of the temple. The whole city is in an uproar. They come upon him. And the scripture says they commit beating him with the intention of killing him. The chief captain has to come with an army to secure the Apostle Paul. And the scripture says they quit beating him. And so intense is the violent situation that they have to hold him in the air to deliver him from the violence. And we see the series of trials that he undergoes. Now the Apostle Paul, he was going to face opposition. He was a magnet for opposition because of his testimony in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One way or the other, he was going to face the opposition, the reproach of the cross. But what he did, if anything, just intensified it just from the outset that much more. Scripture says, every man's ways are right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Scripture also says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. There is safety in putting our trust in the Lord. The fear of man will always bring a snare. Scripture, Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah writes, God speaks, and he says, to this man will I look, to the man that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. This is the one that God honors. He says, to this man will I look, to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. May the Lord bless us to honor him to honor His word over and over again. Situations in which the people of God have found themselves in where the devil tells them, in essence, you must make an exception in this situation. It will be in your best interest. And it implodes, backfires upon them greatly. God is not mocked. May the Lord bless us to honor Him, to honor His word. And we will have the honor, the joy of His presence abiding with us as we sojourn here below. May the Lord bless each one of you.